Hey, Project Zion podcast listeners. This is Blake Smith, project manager for Project Zion podcast. In today's episode, we are reposting a What's Brewing episode that originally aired on May 17th, 2022. In honor of Pride Month, which is this month, this episode is about supporting Pride as a church. The host for the episode is Carla Long, who is now serving in the presiding bishopric of the Community of Christ. Her guests, who will introduce themselves in the episode and talk about places they were working in 2022. Karen Peter now serves as the Senior President of 70 for the Council of the Presidents of 70. Blair White is Assistant to the Council of 12 Multinations team. Tyler Mars is serving as a Formation Ministry Specialist at International Headquarters. If you or your congregation are interested in participating in Pride Month or a Pride event near you, hopefully you'll find some helpful. We hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and today you're listening to What's Brewing, where we talk about mission activity that happens all over the church and in various ways. And today we're going to be talking about Pride, as in Pride festivals that happen usually during the summertime all over the country, perhaps all over the world, I'm guessing as well. And I'm here with three experts, three voices that you might recognize, three names that you definitely recognize, and three really good friends of mine. I'm here with Tyler Mars, Blair White, and Karen Peter. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves first off. So Karen, why don't you go first?
Hi, I'm Karen, and if you're a Project Zion podcast listener on a regular basis, you've probably heard my voice before, and I host the Cup of Joe series on Project Zion. I also work in Latter-day Seeker Ministries in a variety of areas and have attended Pride before and look forward to sharing that with you.
Thanks, Karen. Blair, you're up next.
So I'm Blair White. I currently serve within international services within the life of the Community of Christ, but I've spent most of my time in service with Community of Christ in the mission fields. My last assignment in that role type of role was in Salt Lake City with Carla, and so it was a good time.
It was a good time, Blair, and we miss you. And last but not least, we have Tyler Mars.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tyler Mars. I currently serve as Latter-day Seeker Expansion Minister living here in Utah. A bit about me, I love to cook and bake, and I have attended Pride in a couple different places in Washington and here in Utah, a few different Pride events here, and they are a fabulous experience. So.
They are a fabulous experience. In fact, Tyler, that leads me into my very first question. And so many people who are listening to this might never have been to any Pride events ever before. So can we just give like a general, like, what is Pride like? What happens at Pride? What can we expect to see at Pride? And, you know, what's it like?
So I think it's really important to say for people who maybe aren't familiar at all that Pride is usually an annual festival meant to focus on the affirming nature of the LGBTQ plus community. And so if you're not familiar with that, going to a Pride event is a good way to get familiar, whether you're part of a Community of Christ congregation or someone else that's interested in justice and equality and fairness and a little bit of partying kind of mixed in there with Pride. So oftentimes there's a parade, and that's a great opportunity for people who are new to Pride, who want to affirm the LGBTQ plus community, to make a banner and walk in the parade and share on your banner some of our enduring principles, like worth of all persons and blessings of community.
Pride really varies depending on where you're at. If you're in a big city versus a smaller city versus a little town, different activities, different demographics of people are there. You might have some more wild and crazy experiences, and maybe some more tame family-friendly experiences. And it just depends on where you live and what the culture is like.
So as has been indicated, Pride is a time of expression of different understandings of sexuality and identity. And so with that, there becomes this exuberant opportunity to be an expression of that, of who they are, without being judged about that. And so in that expression, we need to be ready for some expressions that we might, some of us may deem as on the borderline of whether they should maybe even be participating in this. But it is a time of joy and celebration for those that have been locked in closets for literally many years. And so I think it's a time, while some of us may be concerned about what is being expressed, it is a time that we need to celebrate with them, because they are finally able to celebrate who they are. Whereas most of us have been able to celebrate who we are throughout our lives and without any concern of these matters. And so in that respect, be ready for your eyes to be open. Many of the Pride events, especially in larger cities, has been expressed. I think just Pride is a wonderful way for us to get to know some of the LGBTQI community in ways that we've not experienced.
Carla, you had a super example about that. You want to share your example of what you experienced and saw when you went to Pride?
Well, you know, everyone on this podcast, and perhaps all the listeners who've heard me before, know that I'm from Kansas. So there are times when my little Kansas eyes just like perk right open. And so I was at Pride in Salt Lake a couple years ago, pre-pandemic. And there was a person walking around, and they were only wearing stickers. And that was it, just stickers. And I still remember it 3 years later, what that looked like. And I was shocked, but I'm like, after my initial shock, I'm like, you know what, if that's how they feel comfortable here and they can express themselves, then good for them, get going with it. And so it was a pretty shocking experience though, for my little Kansas eyes. And after I saw that, I really feel like I started looking at people differently at Pride and allowing them to do what they felt like they wanted to do in order to express themselves. You know, one other thing I was thinking about Pride, and hopefully we have some other experiences here. There's a ton of booths at Pride. And I actually, my very first Pride was in Provo, Utah. And I learned so much just from walking around and looking at all the different booths. Like, for instance, I did not know at the time that there are different flags representing different parts of the LGBTQIA plus community. There's a trans flag, and there's a pan flag, and then like the progress flag, something like that. And then there's the one that's gray and black and purple. Which one's that?
That one represents asexual.
Asexual. So I didn't realize that there's all these different flags. So I had a pretty steep learning curve when I first went to my first Pride. Did any of you experience that as well?
So I had realized there were more flags much later. So I was very naive the first couple of times, but my experiences at Pride were several decades ago, my original experiences at Pride, and I was very naive. And it was in San Francisco. And so it was quite an experience for me to attend. And I was so naive that some of my gay friends were very concerned about me actually attending. And they were like, okay, we need to prep you before you go, because this is not in your realm of experience. And I appreciate them kind of walking me through some things. But that was before the more broad outward expression of multiple aspects of sexuality and gender identity. It was before we really started talking about that. And at that time, you wouldn't see flags other than the rainbow flag out. That's been a later addition, which I think is really great, because we lump LGBTQIA plus all together when we're talking about ministry with people who are other than straight, usually white community of Christ, congregational people. We have that in our mind. And so when we talk about people who have other gender identity or sexuality or behaviors that we're not familiar with, we lump them all in a clump. And I think the various flags bring to mind that that community is just as diverse as any other community. And so you experience that at Pride. You have the sticker people, like what you experienced, and then you have families who come. And so it's kind of like Vegas. You can go to a family-friendly hotel, or you can go to a not family-friendly hotel.
I'll say for me, my first experience at Pride was simply just attending for myself, and it was here in Salt Lake City. And the first event that I went to was our parade that we had in town. And that was my first time ever attending anything that was that overtly queer. And it really was a beautiful experience for me because it was my first time to be surrounded by that many people in full support of me as a gay man, and that community in general, to see hundreds and thousands of people there all in support and having a good time, that there was nothing derogatory or mean-spirited about the entire thing. And there was a point actually where I remember watching the parade where I got kind of emotional, thinking that I was in a place where I wouldn't have to worry about how I presented myself, the things that I said, how I acted, who, that sort of thing. And it was really beautiful. The festival itself in Salt Lake is more tame than other places. And I think that allows for this mixture of single individuals expressing themselves how they want and families bringing their children to the event. And you just see this wonderful community of people living authentically that is really, really neat. And I did want to make a point. I used the word queer, and that might be kind of a hard word for some individuals to hear. But I did want to say that the LGBTQ community is repurposing that word in a way that is much more positive than it has been used in the past. And so I just wanted to let our listeners know about that. And I think one final note is that depending on which Pride events you go to, sometimes if Community of Christ is holding a booth, we are the only church present at that event. In other places, there are a handful of welcoming and affirming churches that are there. And that's not always the case in some places. Sometimes there's no religious or spiritual expression present at a Pride. And in places, I think that can be really important and meaningful for people to see that, especially those who have been marginalized and hurt by religions, see that that narrative isn't always practiced in churches. And so I think it's really important for churches to have a presence at Pride.
One of the things I'd like to just mention, we've talked about family friendly. While there are some at Pride that are pretty free to let their bodies be expressed and shown just as they are, one should not take that is overtly sexual. If you would go to a beach in Miami, Florida, or many of the beaches in highly populated areas of the country in the U.S., as well as or beaches outside of the U.S. especially, you would not see anything different at Pride than you would see on those beaches. So just because there's an expression of being willing to let their bodies be shown does not mean it cannot be family friendly. It's a matter of how we see the human body and whether it becomes a sexual thing or not. So I just wanted to lift that up. And so, yes, it can be shocking for those of us who grew up in the Midwest or certain parts of rural areas of the country. It can be shocking, but it does not mean it is sexual. And I just wanted to lift that up. So you can expect it, but like as Carlos said, in Provo, it's must less, it's much more tamer. In Logan, Utah, it was even more tame. Again, it's a time of celebration for those that have not been free to express who they are. And they finally have this time. Now, in Utah, Salt Lake Pride, I was amazed. I've never made it to a Salt Lake parade because I was always at the booth setting up. But I was, there's like 100,000 people coming through and experiencing what does it mean to be gay, and not only experiencing what it means to be gay or on the various spectrums of sexuality, but there to learn about what that is. And so that, back to those flags and all that, it was like, whoa, I had no idea there were so many expressions of this. And so it's a very good educational opportunity that I think is valuable for anyone that cares about their neighbor, because whether we want to admit it or not, our neighbors are in those realms, and we need to find out and be educated about those things.
Which is really key to mission. I mean, this episode is talking about mission and being in the mission field. And Blair, I think that's really an excellent example of what it means to be missional, is to care about our neighbors. And one of the reasons to go to Pride is because we have an opportunity as disciples who walk in community of Christ to show support, to learn to be allies, to talk about congregations that are welcoming congregations, to offer a place of spiritual respite and hope to people who, as Tyler said, have been abused or hurt in different ways by religious expressions, and to learn about other community endeavors that are doing the same thing, that are working in community to build wholeness and to restore physical, spiritual, and emotional health to people. And we can do that by our presence at Pride, by meeting people and being open and building those authentic relationships.
And I don't know if this has come through as much as I was hoping it would come through, but I also just want to say Pride is super, super fun. Like, everyone's in a great mood, like a super good mood. People are laughing and having fun. One time in Provo, we were right next to the stage, which I do not suggest because the music was incredibly loud all the time. So if you can get away from the stage, that would be great. But they were having like a talent show, and there was a group of cheerleaders up there. And I got to tell you, as a former high school cheerleader myself, I jumped up there and they invited me up there to cheer with them. And it was such a fun and uplifting and awesome moment that, I mean, it was just people being authentically themselves is a reason to celebrate. And it is just a really, really fun time. So if you're looking for a fun time, Pride is definitely one of those times. And I, everything we've said here is super important, but it's also really fun. So Tyler actually mentioned a Community Christ booth and how important it is to have a booth if you're interested in doing that. And so sometimes people don't even know where to start, when they have a booth. So maybe we could talk about what resources to bring, what to hand out. You always should have a handout to give somebody something. What should you be giving people? What are some thoughts about booths for Community of Christ members?
So I think as far as infrastructure goes, Blair is the king of infrastructure for event booths, and has lots of advice on that. So Blair, I don't know if you want to start with infrastructure. I care more about what resources we take and how we present ourselves in a booth, and what our attitudes are, and little things like wear a name tag and have your pronouns on it. If you don't know what I mean by that, you can either Google it or talk to somebody. But the basics are, there are lots of different ways people express their gender identity. And so my pronouns are she, her. So my name tag would say Karen Peter, she, her, and do that. How you want to be talked to, what pronouns you want people to use when they speak of you.
So Blair, I think you just got called out. I think it's all you right now.
I think I got called out. Infrastructure.
Well, you're so good at it.
So infrastructure really depends on what the event provider, what the Pride organization is providing at the event for you and what they're not providing for you. At some places you'll go, the event provider, your cost for a booth will include a tent. A tent is hugely important. It's hugely important because it keeps you out of the sun. And these are often held in June, and you need, and your team needs to be kept out of the sun. So if your provider is not providing you a tent, then you need to bring a booth tent with you. And typically that would be a 10 by 10 tent. Depending on what you're going to do at your booth, whether it's just promote who you are as a church and that you want to be an affirming church, you may just want a sign that either rises up above your tent, no matter who provided it, or you just may want a sign that sits in the within your confines of your tent. But you want to let people know who you are and why you are there. For me personally, I like to parlay. I think Pride events can provide us an opportunity to show who we are, not just by being there and affirming to the community that we are supportive of Pride and the LGBTQI community, but also an opportunity to express who we are in mission beyond even just this community. So one of the things that I've done at our Pride events is that I've parlayed with an organization called Threads of Hope. And Threads of Hope is helping people get out of human trafficking issues. And people in the Pride community know about human trafficking issues, and they care about those issues. So there's something that we can come together and be focused on. And so at those booths, we would sell little friendship bracelets that are made by people in the Philippines that are, by making them and providing an outlet for us to sell them, we can send profits back to them that keep them out of human trafficking issues. And it's amazing what you can do, have a conversation on as you are putting a bracelet on someone. And one of the things I learned in about putting bracelets on them as they put their wrist out to them, to you, to put that bracelet on, is that I was shocked at the number of people who self-mutilated themselves by cutting. And that gives us an opportunity to just recognize the pain that it's out there and to say words of blessing in the midst of recognizing their pain without calling it out. And I think that's important. So there's some things on infrastructure as well as mission that I think is very helpful. Have a couple chairs, have a table, you know, set it up so that you can be comfortable so that when people aren't at your booth, you can have a seat and relax, but yet be open and willing to accept people as they are walking by and greeting them as they walk by.
Thank you, Blair, for sharing that. The Threads of Hope, I just want to add, it was just an incredible way to get people to stop by because, you know, like people always love having little bracelet things on and things like that. And when you can talk to them about how their money is actually changing people's lives for the absolute better, then it means that much more. So spending the $2 for the bracelet doesn't feel like much at all. And you're really changing some people's lives. So that was a huge moment when we were selling those Threads of Hope bracelets. Blair, thanks for bringing that up.
I want to bring one more thing into that. So not only do we help people in the Philippines that were trying to get out of poverty issues and out of human trafficking issues, but we half of the profits go back to the Philippines for that, but we keep half of the profits. And so in Salt Lake, we donated several thousand dollars to the local Pride community and the local Pride organization. So it's a win-win for everybody involved.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that. So Karen, what kind of resources would you say that we need to bring as Community Christ members, and what should the booth look like?
So how how you set up your booth and what it looks like depends on the event. So if you're at a real staid conference-y kind of thing, it would look different than Pride. Pride's a festival. And so wearing brightly colored t-shirts or rainbow t-shirts with the name of the church on it is one aspect. Salt Lake did that really well. I think you wore neon pink t-shirts with the name on it. But it should also have pieces that identify who Community of Christ is and why we are there. And it can be as simple as a small poster made with the scripture out of the Doctrine and Covenants that scripture should never be used as a weapon to harm people. That's a quote that can be put on a small poster for a nominal fee and put on an easel out in front of your booth at Pride, which is really important. Information about harmony, about sacred pause, about a welcoming, being a welcoming congregation, that kind of information is really important to have. The book Homosexual Saints, and I'm blanking on the second volume of that. Tyler, do you remember the name of the second?
Touched by Grace.
Thank you. Homosexual Saints and Touched by Grace are both terrific to have. People can thumb through those and even a little note by them that says where those can be ordered. And then something that really represents Community of Christ, the sharing in Community of Christ, the identity, mission, message, and beliefs. And not so much to force on people, but when people ask, why are you here? You can flip that to the enduring principles of blessings of community and worth of all persons. And people can see that right there in print, this institutional church has embedded in its official material the importance and worth of all people. And so those kinds of resources are important to have. And of course, the Enduring Principles tracts that you can buy. And the blue invitation cards. They have that beautiful invitation to Community of Christ, and they're so well done. Those kinds of resources are important. Project Zion podcast, put something up about that so that people can find us and can listen to the broad spectrum of episodes that we have on Project Zion and information about your congregation and why you're here so that they can find you as well. If you have a Facebook page, put that up so people can see. If you have an Instagram account, if you just have a web page, then put that information out there for people to get it. And put a sign-up sheet. So if people want more information, they can sign up. Most people won't. Most people will just say, hey, can I friend you on Facebook? And so you want to have your smartphone there so that you can do that and find each other on Facebook. I've made lots of good relationships that way. But the other thing is that whatever you bring is irrelevant if you don't bring yourself with the attitude that says you're open and you're there to talk to people and you care about them. And so even if you're there with your best friends from your neighborhood or from your congregation, don't stand just chatting to each other. Don't turn your backs to the people who might be coming up to your booth and table. Keep yourself open. Keep your body language open. Even if you're shocked, try to keep an open expression on your face and keep your judgment to yourself. But be available. Relationship-wise, be available to speak to people. Don't be closed off. And that's really important too. And don't think you can't do it. So I'm going to call out my friend Mary, who lives in Idaho Falls. So Mary, if you're listening to this, sorry, but she's in her 70s, and we had a small group, and there was a friend who participated in our group who was part of the queer community. And we were talking about Pride in Idaho Falls, which is pretty small. I mean, it's really small, but Mary, bless her heart, from Iowa originally, Mary, little congregation in Iowa, she makes her a Community of Christ poster, and her first time ever, she walks in the Pride parade in Idaho Falls because it was important to her because of her friend from our small group experience. So anybody can do it, even if it's you and a poster and walking in the parade, you can participate.
Well, that made me cry a little bit. Thanks, Karen, for talking about Mary. She is just one of the best people I know. So thanks for saying that. And thank you so much for all the good advice. You know, these are things that we know in our head, but these are things that we forget very easily. When we're feeling uncomfortable, when we're feeling like we might not belong, when we feel like we don't understand what's going on, it's very easy to be closed off and only talk to people that we know. So again, I'll say it again. You've already said it, and I've said it once. Bring your genuine, loving, caring, wonderful selves there. And just know that there's lots of people who desperately need ministry in their lives. And remember that at all times. Tyler, over to you. What do you think about booths? Like, what do you think we need to have at booths?
You know, Karen and Blair both mentioned a lot of really great things. And I think what's at the heart of that is that who we are as a church and our mission, message, and beliefs inherently are welcoming. I mean, they talk about how much we value everyone, how much we love and value diversity, and how important that is. And it's important to share that, whether that's in physical form with the things that we bring or in our conversations with people. And I think it's really important to know that they're not just words on a page, but that we actually live that out. An organization that Karen mentioned, Harmony, I just wanted to give a small plug for that. If you are a congregation that, you know, in your heart knows that you're welcoming and affirming congregation, it's important to reach out to Harmony because they'll be able to work with you to work you through a process that helps you create a welcoming and affirming statement for your congregation. It helps you know if the things you're doing in your congregation are truly welcoming and inviting of all. Sometimes we make little mistakes that we don't realize that can maybe be a little off-putting to people. So I think, especially the queer community. And so I think it's important that if you're considering being at a Pride event and you want to represent Community of Christ, give Harmony a call or an email and have a chat with them. Say, this is something you're really interested in. This is your first time doing it. What do we do? Are we ready for this? Are we ready as a congregation to truly welcome these people in our doors and not perhaps accidentally say something or do something that's going to be off-putting to them? Because that's really important. A lot of queer individuals that step into church for this is probably their first time or their first time in a long while. And so impressions are important. And being in a Pride event, especially, impressions are important. So how we act, what we do, the kind of messages that we portray, the things that we give out, all of that matters and points to who we are as an organization. So there's all that seriousness. I think one fun thing to have at a Pride event and something that we did recently is that our congregation bought a button maker. So we could make those little plastic pin buttons. And the neat thing about that is that you can print out whatever you want and put it on that button. You can put a mission initiative, an enduring principle, a fun image, our church name with a rainbow background, whatever is meaningful to your context that you're living in, your city, or your congregation. And that's those buttons are fun to hand out. They're a conversation starter, and they're a little bit of Community of Christ given to them, right? It'll always remind them of that one booth that they went to that was a queer inclusive church that was present at Pride.
I'm so glad you brought up the buttons, Tyler. I was going to say two things about that. So I know making buttons sounds kind of tedious, but I will tell you that we had a teen not necessarily at our church, we were at a conference, and they were looking for something to do. And I'm not kidding when I say they sat down and made 100 buttons and they were thrilled to do it. So, you know, you don't have to make all the buttons all by yourself. There are people who are interested to help you and want to help you. So just ask the question. And I will say another thing about the buttons, because we're in Utah and we're a little bit tongue in cheek here. We did make some buttons with Emma Smith and she's eating popcorn, just watching all the craziness happen. And those buttons were the most popular buttons we have ever handed out because, but that's Utah. That might not be true in other parts of the church, but Utah is A very interesting place. Well, this has been really a really solid conversation about the booths. I think this has been a really important conversation about the booths. Was there anything that came up for any of you about booths that we should say before we move on? Karen?
I did want to say that I keep a checklist, and it's for booth prep. And so I can send you the file, and it can be put up on the Project Zion website. Everything from bringing your own canopy tent if it's not provided, and bringing, you know, water and chairs, to what kinds of things to share and how to make sure you have an opening, welcoming persona there. So it's a great checklist.
That's really helpful. Thank you, Karen. And I don't think I know Blair mentioned it, but I don't know if we stressed enough. Like, if you have room, set up some chairs. People are always looking for a place to sit when they're walking around a festival. And like, even if they need to sit down and tie their shoe, they're always looking for a place to sit. And then conversation can actually really happen there. So if you have space and you have extra lawn chairs, put them out. People will be happy to use them and sit and chat with you. And it's a really incredibly good missionary tool. Okay. Anything else about booths?
One of the things I wanted to add is in Salt Lake, I don't know if that's still being done, but when I was there, we actually had two booths, because we had a booth that we were selling the Threads of Hope that we were representing Community of Christ well with. We also had just another booth for the congregation, and that addressed more of what Carla was saying about, here's a place to sit down and have a conversation. Now not every congregation is going to be able to do that, but just recognize there are a variety of options you can do. And I'm going to take this opportunity to kind of move into our next question of what experiences we've had at Pride that have to do with booths. And that's to lift up, at Salt Lake Pride, there was another congregation outside of Community of Christ that had a booth. And it was our friends from the American Baptist congregation there in Salt Lake, great group of people. They had a booth that just said free hugs, and they just gave people hugs. And everybody, not everybody wants a hug, but a lot of people want and need a hug. So that's an experience that I had at Pride that was different than what Community of Christ was expressing, but is an expression that any congregation can also offer.
I love that, Blair. And I also love that you are taking on double duty as host. Thank you so much. That is our next question. I appreciate that. So is there any experiences that you've all had at Pride that, you know, that you can share with us?
One experience at Pride that I had was actually last year when I went to the small town of Rexburg, Idaho. This is an extremely conservative college town. 98% LDS, more so than Salt Lake City. And this little town also had some significance for me because it was my alma mater, where I graduated college. And this Pride Festival that we went to was their first Pride Festival and my first time stepping foot back in that town after graduating. And it was an immensely powerful and beautiful experience to see queer people and allies come out into a space in a park where they were welcomed and affirmed. That was the most positive, loving, joyous, happy place. That day. It was amazing to be there and to see a couple people that I went to school with that were still living there, that were visiting this festival for the first time, wanting to get involved, experience it, and to see this little conservative town hold such a progressive thing for them. It was humbling, it was beautiful, it was powerful, it was truly happy. And we were the only church present there in this little conservative town. And people were frankly surprised and shocked to know that affirming churches existed at all. So that was my experience at Rexburg Idaho Pride.
Thanks, Tyler. That's made me cry again. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it. I'll share a story. So I was attending a Pride festival. I don't even remember where it was, but a couple came up to me, a queer couple came up, and they were chatting about, you know, all the stuff. And we started talking, and they're like, so we're going to get married and we cannot find anyone to marry us. No one. We cannot find anyone to perform the wedding. And they're like, does your church do that? I'm like, oh, sure. Of course we do. Of course. We do. Of course. And so they said, okay. And they walked away. And I just thought we'd never hear from them again. Well, we did. They sought our church out. They found me specifically, and they said, and they came to the church in Salt Lake, and they said, Carla, we are wondering if you would perform our wedding, perform the ceremony. And I was just so thrilled that that had happened. And so they and I worked together for 6 months before they got married. And it was one of the most beautiful weddings I had ever attended in my life. And it was just so full of love and so full of all of this celebration that it kind of felt like Pride all over again, actually. But the fact that we had made that connection and they had remembered that they sought us out to try and find us again, what really meant a lot to me. Any other experiences we want to talk about?
Carla, I think those surprises are one of the blessings of disciples being willing to go outside of our comfort zone and do something that is supportive and welcoming. And a lot of times people in Community of Christ congregations think, well, why would they do that if people aren't then going to come to my church? Because isn't that what mission is all about? And it's really not. A mission is about engaging with people and building relationships with people and bringing blessing and wholeness and healing to people. But those surprises, when somebody comes back to you, and I think most of us have had those kinds of experiences, either from a Pride event or other similar events, those are just extra blessings on top of it. That's not so much the goal as it is just an affirmation that what we're doing is the right thing. And so I want to thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for making my story sound much better. So I have really enjoyed talking about this, and I only have one question left, and I think that we've answered it over and over and over again, but I want us to be able to answer it just one more time. My last and final question for you as the wonderful panel that you've been is, why is going to Pride even worth it? Why even go?
I think there's two reasons. One is that it's what we're called to do. That's part of being community of Christ, and the queer community is part of our community. And so we extend ourselves in relationship. So that's one really important reason to go, is to be present in our communities and to show our identity. The second reason is selfish, and that is because it's fun. Because it's a bonding experience for your congregation. It's a way to do something meaningful that is not tedious. That's, well, maybe the setting up the tent and all that kind of stuff. But if you have Blair, I mean, it's no problem because he will make that go spiffy fast. But other than that, it is really a wonderful, fun experience to do together. And I can't think of a lot of things that you're going to do in ministry as a congregation that would be more celebratory than going to a Pride event.
Yeah, we can't emphasize enough that going to Pride, don't go to Pride expecting that you're going to get 10 or 15 people to come to your congregation. If that happens, that's great. But go there just to let them know that God cares about them. And to celebrate who they are, right where they are. To me, that's the most valuable thing that you can go. And when you do that, you're going to be touched in ways that you did not expect to be touched. And so it becomes altruistic in that manner, but it only happens because you're willing to give yourself for others. just to let them know that they are loved.
I think Blair touched on a really important point, and mine is very similar to that, and that advocacy work isn't just meant to be done from a distance. We're meant to go into a community and be in that with them. And I think a couple of things happen while we're there. Because so many people have been marginalized and harmed by religion, I might be selfish in saying this, but it's our duty as affirming and welcoming churches to go in there and help heal people. To truly live what it means when we say that all are worthy, all are called. Unity and diversity. These are things we believe at our core. And they're things that I know other people want to hear so badly from a church, but haven't. And we are one of, not all churches are affirming, but we are one of a few that are able to do that. And so going in to a place like Pride and letting them know that people are inherently worthy regardless of who they are, what they do, how they live their life, that they are loved by God, that we value their uniqueness in all of its splendor and glory, that they can be celebrated just as they are. I think that's an important message and the important reason of why it's worth it to go to Pride, that it's our duty to help share that message.
One thing I want to add is, perhaps I think the reason we're doing this right now is that because Pride Month is coming up. June is Pride Month. And so I'm assuming this is going to be broadcast somewhere around then. One of the things that we did in my current congregation in Missouri is that last year, each Sunday of Pride Month, we had representation from the LGBTQI community, the queer community, whether that was spoken about, their participation in that, or whether they were just there as part of the worship service and or part of the experience in leading worship. Pride Month is the focus on that community. And so don't let, if you go to a Pride parade, just don't go and let it end there. Keep it going. Create some momentum and keep it going within the life of the congregation, not just in Pride Month, but in all the months of the year.
Thank you so much, Blair. And thank you, Karen and Tyler as well. I have cried 3 times on this podcast, 3 times already. Thanks for that. I wasn't really expecting to cry, but you have just explained things so beautifully and how important it is for us to be there, how important it is for us as Community of Christ people, and how important it is for people that we're ministering to and with. So I'm really grateful to all 3 of you for sharing your expertise and sharing your fun stories. And thanks again for being here.
Thanks, Carla.
Thank you, Carla. It was great to be with you folks again.
It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.